let's talk about
all right. Shakespeare.
Well, it's just we've been studying the Sumerian version of the flood because it goes along with the history and the literature. Anyway, their version says puts Noah and Methuselah kind of in the same book. You know, it's Noah but yet he lives forever.
Noah lives forever?
Well, the guy.
Methuselah?
The Sumerian.
Oh, Gilgamesh.
Noah.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Lives forever. It's
kind of
like the Noah and Methuselah together. It's like the gods taking him. About that. And I just wanted to ask you about what the timeline were, what the timeline of certain events were, because I wasn't sure about that.
Okay, what happened? Methuselah died. Methuselah was the longest living.
Enoch. Or who was taken?
Enoch was taken.
Okay, Enoch, sorry. I'm wrong. Enoch.
Well, who the hell is Methuselah?
He was the longest then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Enoch. It's like, I know Enoch.
Who the hell is Jesus?
He's one of those main guys.
Okay.
I know he was
a heavy hitter.
Go to this book called the Bible.
The Bible. I was just going to ask you what the town had to say because there's a lot of weird stuff in the Sumerian.
Where are you studying this at?
That's a temple of secular
humanism.
Yeah.
The Church of Reason.
Yeah, the Church of Reason.
Here's Harry's
little lady in the Bible. Needs a Bible.
Where are we going in the Bible?
Genesis 5.
Yeah, that was a good thing. No, she's a female.
Okay, in Genesis 5. Verse 18. The book of Genesis is made up of 11 documents. It's not a history book. It's made up of 11 different documents that were passed on by oral tradition. And these 11 documents, or 11 histories, are the history of the earth, the history of Adam, on and on. The point is, they're separate documents. All of them have one function, and that is to reveal and protect the seed of woman in Genesis 3, which is Christ, which is Jesus. It's not meant to be history, so it's not really can be studied in the context that you're studying it, but I'll try, okay?
Just
listen. Genesis 5:18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, again, the reason, for some of you who haven't been here, the reason that men lived for those incredible ages during these times was because the earth was enclosed before, it had never rained before Noah, before the flood. The earth was enclosed with a thick layer of clouds, and the whole earth was as a greenhouse. And the only thing that causes you to age, the only thing, after you reach maturity, two things. One is the ultraviolet rays from the sun, and the other is anxiety. If you didn't have ultraviolet rays from the sun and anxiety, you too would live to be hundreds of years old. But now, because before Noah, in these days, life was simple. If they wanted something to eat, they just picked it off a tree. Everything was simple. There was no anxiety. There was no hunting. No one had to work, per se. Now, so we have an environment on Earth in which it's totally protected by this layer of clouds, people living to incredible ages, and the star map that we're about to study was invented by this man, Enoch. Okay? Now watch. And Enoch walked, in verse 22, Act 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, Methuselah, the word means, literally in the Hebrew, when he is dead, it shall come. So Enoch knew by revelation that his son, when his son died, the end of the human race would come, except for that Noah and his small group.
So Jared was...
Jared was not, was out of the picture.
Was before Noah.
Yeah.
John had a question. How could they see the stars if the clouds were in
there?
How could they see the stars if the clouds were in there?
Because there were two places on earth that were called the mountains of God. And that's the cloud layer went below those mountains. One of them was in what's now Jerusalem. And that's where everything was charted. You understand? Now, the word Enoch means dedicated or discipled or trained up. Now watch. And Enoch walked with, where are we? Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 days.
Years.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch lived precisely. Now, this isn't just according to us. It's according to the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Babylonians, Sumerians. Enoch lived exactly, precisely, the length in terms of numbers of days of the year. 365 point da-di-da-di-da-di-da. So it came out to be the exact, and in the temple, in the pyramid, in the Great Pyramid, is what's called the Enoch Circle. And that was the key to understanding and to decodifying the Great Pyramid in Egypt. Remember that when we studied that?
He was not what?
He was not found. He was gone. He was translated.
He
poofed.
He was not.
He, two people in the Bible, only two people in the Bible never died. One was Enoch and one was Elijah.
Well, wasn't one of the guys lifted up in the book of Acts?
Oh, he poofed from one place to another.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't do the big
He didn't do the big
poof.
It was just foreplay. Now, the word Enoch walked, Enoch, the word is Hebrew shonuk, which means initiated or dedicated or trained up. Disciple, that's what we're about. You are being Enoched in the Hebrew. That's the only reason you're here, is to be trained, to be discipled. And your goal is the same as Enoch's. And that's to be taken up, is to be knocked.
Right.
Now the word walk there, it's the Hebrew word halak, and it means, it doesn't mean just to going for a walk. It means to accomplish the purpose for which he was created. When that's why the New Testament, when it says that your walk should be this way and that way, your walk is to fulfill the reason why you were created. If you're not doing that, then you are not walking. You are crawling or limping or
skipping.
You know, you're not skipping. You're walking around, you're moving in a lame way because you haven't yet known why you're here. That's why the first thing you do as a little child, the first questions you begin to ask every little child in every society, what in the hell am I doing here?
So walking and prosperous are the same.
That's right. Completed journey. To be prosperous from a spiritual standpoint is to know the reason you're here and to know the end of the journey, to have the completed journey. Know why you're here. If you know why you're here, you're the rarest of all beings on the face of the earth. Everything else is just bullshit. Got it?
Are we all supposed to know why we're here?
You're all supposed to know why you're
so
here.
So why would we so rare and we didn't know?
Because there's a big lie that's going on.
We're supposed to be the seed forever, or what?
Huh?
Are we supposed to never find out what we do for?
You're supposed to find out.
But it costs you money.
But it costs you, the only one, no.
It's not lots of money.
All right.
No. It doesn't cost you money. It doesn't cost you money.
Why did I ask you this?
It costs you your life.
Cost life.
It costs you your life.
You think we all get to ask the question? I mean, do we all have
it? All ask the question when you're a little kid.
Well, how about when we're grown?
Most of the time you opt.
When kids, we're
no, no, no. When, no. When you're grown up, most
I mean,
people.
When you understand. Creation, eternity, and everything.
Most people stop asking the question. They become more concerned with making a living and making a show than they do asking why they're here.
And then to find the answer, we have to be child.
Become
again.
As a little child again.
That's the only solution.
Amen.
You got it.
Jesus.
Here's your diploma. Here's your diploma.
You're
like
a gold star.
Okay, the word holla, the word walk. Now, again, the reason that we're studying this is because she asked about Eno. Okay?
And Noah.
We're going to get to Noah in a minute.
It's Jackie's fault.
It's Jackie's fault.
Yeah, tonight it's my fault we didn't.
The reason that the word walk here is so important, because it's the Hebrew word that means a river flows. That's halak. Wind blows. That's halak. Snakes creep, halak. Ships sail, halak. Sun produces heat, it's halak. That's what it's, you halak or you walk when you are doing the thing that you were created to do.
Louis Leches.
Slithers too.
This now is not walking.
It's not hollicking.
If I turn it on, now it's hollicking. It's walking. It's third of home. Okay, now we got a hollick all the way. Okay, now it's doing it. You understand? But hear what it says. There's a mystery locked in here. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And then verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
And everybody else, they say they lived.
Hmm?
Everybody else, they say they lived so long.
Yeah, he walked.
He walked.
He hollered. except the other one that says that there's only one other person before the flood that says they walked with God, and that was Noah. So Noah.
And later, when they leave the ark, God's charge to Noah is walk before me.
Amen. Okay, now again, Methuselah is the Hebrew, so we know from his name that Enoch had a revelation about his son. I want you to visualize this poor guy, right? The earth was a lot like it is now. Everybody was running around doing their own thing. There were anywhere from 25 million to 250 million people walking on the face of the earth. A lot of people. More likely 250 million, because those, they really begat a lot. And if you live to be 800 years, you can begat a whole lot. A lot of begatting. Now this, go ahead.
I'll ask this question afterwards.
So, all of a sudden, Enoch has a child. And God, by revelation, tells him to name his son Methuselah. Methuselah says, the meaning is, when he is dead, the world will end.
So you gotta take care of Methuselah.
So,
take care of this.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, right. So everybody knows, they're all speaking the same language. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what his name means, right?
Where did they live?
Huh? At that time.
Hyde Park.
What?
Hyde Park.
Highland Park.
It's at Highland Park.
No, Butch said any place he wanted to. Okay, you all heard, you know, Jackie has a bumper sticker. That's probably the sickest. She has a bumper sticker.
Oh, it's great.
No, on her car.
Our car.
On my car.
And the bumper sticker says, "Stop Continental Drift."
That's great.
If you're gonna have a, if you're gonna have a cause, you might as well have a big one.
Or a big bumper.
Or big bumpers. Well. They're talking about your wife.
They're
haven't
talking.
Heard her slide it yet?
What?
I said they're talking.
Did you hear what he said?
What?
He just said, I haven't seen her slide it yet. Anyway, do you ever know, I mean, we've talked about this before, that if you take Africa and put it together, it'll fit right here exactly. The whole world was originally one landmass.
Boy, we're covering all the weird stuff tonight in one shot. They tell you, you're getting a real shot overview.
The Earth was originally one landmass. It's been proven by Continental Drift. The only thing they haven't proved is because science still believes in linear time, they think this breaking apart happened 50 billion years ago. I don't think it did.
It was more like 49.
Yeah, right.
He's getting up in the
office. Ellie, he has a Mickey Mouse watch.
I don't want to know about it. Methuselah and the center of civilization, which is in what's now Iraq, and that's where Methuselah
okay, so
was.
Between the two rivers.
Between the Tigris and Euphrates.
Where it's real lush, real beautiful.
Right. Before the river moved and it became a desert. Okay. So that answers your question where you asked, right? Okay. Now, everybody in the society knew what the word, this guy's name was, Methuselah. Everybody knew that that word meant when he dies, the earth is dead. You got that? It's kind of freaky. I want you to imagine what life would have been like for that kid. And sure enough, he died on the day that Noah entered the ark and the rains came.
Wow. How do you know?
You can figure it out. You can figure it out. Just put your pencil, put it down right. Do what I did.
He died normally, he didn't drown.
No, he died. He didn't drown in the flood. He died by a natural death, probably the moment the door of the ark was shut.
Wow.
Okay?
That's why he lives so long.
Because Methuselah was, at the time of his death, 969 years. Now, Lamech, and keep going down here. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and he begat a son. And he called his name Noah. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now Noah,
what does that mean?
Is a word that means rest or comfort. Now,
which is weird because he spent so long building an ark.
Okay. Yeah, but then he rested. Now, in the there's a whole lot of stories about Noah. Okay. But Noah was it just a metaphor for us. Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and we'll see something. Hebrews 11. Everybody find it? Huh? What?
He said 4,000.
I
think he's right.
No, you can just put you. Not, I'll show you. Now, verse 11. I mean, Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. I'll get it right yet. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We've talked about this before, but all that matter is spirit slowed down. And the only thing that gives the feeling of hardness or substance to something is the rapidity of the movement of the molecule. If you took everything in the universe and took the space out of it, it would fit into a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And any physicist can prove that to you. It'd be a very heavy dot. But in truth, it would be nothing. Because all that we are, all that matter is spirit slowed down. You are spiritual beings. Okay? Now watch.
I've screened tonight as a bird and said we're going to screen the next episode of The Day the Universe Changed to see if it was any good. It is. And one of the things he talks about is the man who first came up with the thought that light was the building block that God used to create.
Yeah. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I've told you so often, Noah condemned the world by his obedience. We can bring an end to time by our obedience. We're in the same position. Now, do you have any other questions about Noah? Or did you?
No. Well.
Tell him what compelled you to come in and ask.
What? Well, I've been reading about it and I was curious. What do you think?
Well, just she goes into class and it's a big opinion forum and nobody really has anything to say. It's kind of.
No, that wasn't what they told me. It's just, you know, the teacher presents this whole compact package of this is the way this was. Just from the small things that I've heard you say, I think. But I didn't have any, I didn't know. That's why I wanted to ask you. When this happened or if this happened at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's been the big discussion lately.
Let me see if I can find you some alternate thing to read. I think Robert Graves wrote a fascinating book about.
Yeah, I mean, if you could tell me what to read, that would be great.
Yeah, let me I think, let me see if you can, if I can get find out. Okay. Because I think Robert Graves did the ultimate study on this. Okay, let's forget about Noah. Go to your little star stuff.
That was neat.
Oh, I read today in the book, they have the scorpion men. They're called half man, half devil. Like this. Well, I mean, you know, they're scorpions.
Again, let me give you a review. This is a star map of the heavens. You have to picture yourself as being in the center, and all of these things around this ecliptic are what takes place in the stars or in the heavens every night. This is the movement that you see. The orientation is that in the center of it, right above Draco's head, is the North Star. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's north. So if we were going to have this as three-dimensional, we'd put this way and then have these figures pull themselves out and we'd be in the middle looking right there. Okay? Now this pattern, it repeats itself every night because of the movement of the Earth. This is the movement. This is the constellations that are seen in the Northern Hemisphere by all men. These pictures, these weird animals, these weird things on the star map, every culture, from ancient Egypt to the Mayans to on and on and on, to China, to Hebrews, to Persians, to Babylon, they all have their same, they've all ascribed these same pictures to them. And so we know that they had an original source. The ancient rabbis said that original source was either Enoch, the man that we've just been talking about, or his predecessor, Seth. More than likely Enoch. We see now how knowledge has denigrated. Let me give you this brief review. Now people use these, when people say, what sign are you? They know, I'm a Libra, I'm a Cancer, I'm a Scorpio, whatever that. It's meant as another simple instrument of self-realization. They look in the paper to find out whether or not they're going to be a good day or a bad day. The original meaning of these had nothing to do with you. They had nothing to do with your birth date. They had nothing to do with even kings. The original meaning of this story was, is it revealed why you're here. It revealed the purpose of time and space. And every night it's repeated in the heavens. So now we've studied, we noticed, we remember we've gone through and we said that you had to start nowhere to begin and where to end, because it's a circle. That's the reason the Sphinx is built. You start at Virgo and you end at Leo. We've studied Virgo and we've studied the three decans associated with Virgo, the Coma, the Botis, and the Centaurus. We've studied Libra and the three decans associated with it, which are the Cross, the Victim, and the Crown. And now last week we studied Scorpio. And now we're about to study its first decan, our first sign that's associated with it, the serpent. Okay?
Didn't you say that serpents and Orpheacus are kind of like intertwined?
Mm-hmm. But we're going to study the serpent alone right now.
Oh.
Have all of you found it? You see Orpheacus, the man standing with his foot on the heart of the scorpion. And he's grasping the serpent in both hands. And he's pulling the serpent away from the crown. You got it?
Got it.
Okay, go to Book of Revelation.
Yay!
Revelation.
Revelation.
Revelation chapter 3.
We like it.
Revelation. Or helicopter stuff.
Revelation what?
3. What?
Jimmy was preaching on this the other
day. Swagger? Jimmy, what's that shit?
That'd be a game show.
Revelation 3, verse 7.
The tilting game show.
I swear. Oh, wait. Tell me, I was watching last night on Channel 13,
this guy was talking about the bears and the Big Little Dipper. He was showing how it changes, like, in the 4 months from April till now, how the one dipper moves under the big one, moves under the small one. How long does it take to complete this in around, is it a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper are here in this time period. They were called the Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, the Big Bear and the Little Bear. Originally, they were called the Sheepfold. It was a big, the Sheepfold had most of the sheep in it, and the little one had less sheep in it. And we'll get to that in a minute, later.
Yeah, I'm wondering how I'm going to be able to find this stuff.
Huh?
If I go outside, I was wondering how am I going to...
Well, you won't be able to find all of them, because we live in there's too much light.
Well, we're going to be going up to Colorado pretty soon.
Yeah, but you need to take the star map, and you need to orient yourself in the sky by the North Star. And then you'll be able to pick out a whole lot of these.
Really great.
Okay. And to the Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast but a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Now,
this is to Christ.
No, this is Christ saying this. This is the words of Christ, the resurrected Christ, speaking to John about 67 AD. Now, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. What the hell does that mean? Remember, there's only three one God religions in all of history. There's only three religions that worship one God, monotheistic, in all of history, and they're offshoots. But the three religions that have one God, and therefore worshiping only one God, is the rarest thing in the world. And the three are Christianity, Judaism, and Muslims, or Islam. And all three of them started from the promises of God to Abraham. And it's still the same thing happening. The Jews believe that the promises of God went to Isaac, the son of the promise. The Muslims believe the promises of God went to Ishmael, the natural son. All this is in Genesis 12. And the Christians believe that the promises of God go to somehow people that say they're Christians. Or Jesus something.
People who are saved.
Something like that.
Now, in Muslim or in Islam, there are two branches. There's the Shia or Shiites and the Sunnis. They're the two main branches. The Sunnis are like modern Protestants in our Christian religion. They just believe that you can do almost anything you want to, and they got bunches of little denominations, but mostly it's just you just sort of hang around and do stuff. The most dangerous ones are the Shia, and because they believe that there is an Ayatollah or a Pope that controls their destiny and their lives, and he's the one that speaks the word of Allah or God. But I want you to understand that from God's standpoint, all three are only Jews. Jew is one whose heart is circumcised. I can honestly say that I'm a Muslim, because Muslim means one who is submitted to God. I can honestly say that I'm a Jew, because in the spirit a Jew is one whose heart is circumcised and not the flesh. I can honestly say that I'm a Christian, because Jesus Christ is my life. But all three in the main are practicing synagogue Judaism. It doesn't matter whether it's the Muslims or Christians or Jews. From God's standpoint, they're all practicing synagogue Judaism. And that means Judaism without a temple. You understand? God now has declared, yeah, this was all true up until Jesus Christ, that people had temples and you went places to worship and you did this and you did that. But now God has said that you are the temple. You still don't understand that. You are the temple of the living God. But there's someone in your temple that set himself up to judge for himself good and evil. He's resurrected himself from the dead. He's the serpent, the deceiver, the Antichrist. But he's subtle and he's smart and he's disguised. And he's disguised as you. Now it's time to return that temple to the living God and let the usurper be dead. You got it? Okay, now watch. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. You see, it doesn't matter whether they say they're Christians or Jews or Muslim. They're all of the synagogue of Satan if they have their life without the temple. What's happening?
I'm just going to go get a pill on my
It's because all the smart-ass remarks you've been making.
God's going to make your leg fall off.
Right here. Which say they are Jews and are not. Now in the Spirit, God says anybody that says they are the chosen of God, they are saying they are Jews. It doesn't matter whether you're a Catholic, a Methodist, a Muslim, a Jew, or you, whatever we are. If you say you are the chosen of God, you are, by definition, by the meaning of the words, you're saying to God in the Spirit, you're a Jew. But most of us, if you say you're the chosen of God after the flesh, you're lying. That's what it says. Behold, I will make them that are the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. You understand? All right. And this is why. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You remember? Jesus said to his disciples, you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. His temptation is to always lean on his own arm of understanding, to always, for him, try to figure it out instead of, again, walking as the small child in dependence on the Father, moment by moment by moment by moment. His temptation is not, you know, whether or not you are going to go out and do X, Y, Z. His temptation is whether or not you're tempted to lean on your own arm of understanding for any need, to go anywhere else other than the Father for a need. Now watch. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now watch. Go back to the star chart. We start out with a virgin. And from the virgin we get the seed of woman in Genesis 3. Every place on this map where there is a man, you will see that he is the picture or another aspect of the promised one, the seed of woman. And you see he's in battle with all kinds of creepy crawly stuff. But I tell you what I did. I just searched this star chart for days and days and days. I couldn't find me here anywhere. The only thing I found in the stars, the only thing I find in the scripture, is a battle going on between the seed of woman, which is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the serpent disguised as you. Am I making sense? I don't see me in there anywhere. I don't see Butch. I don't see Donna. I don't see anybody save I see it. And this is the oldest thing in the universe. This is the stars that declare the glory of God. And for once in your life, get you out of the picture. That you can begin, the real you can begin to live, and you can then walk with God. Fulfill your purpose. Abandon yourself to His perfect love. Return as the small child. Communicating? Mm-hmm. Now, in Scorpio, when we just studied down there, we saw the effort to wound the heel, to cause the walk to be out of the way. By the wounding of the heel. Go to Genesis 3. You got to see this once and for all.
We talked about last time about Hillsborough Lane.
Yes. Genesis 3. Is everybody at Genesis
3?
Genesis 3.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. God never said that. God said, Don't eat it. He never said, Don't touch it. And that's extremely important. We'll see you in a minute. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing for yourself good and evil. That's what it means. Knowing for yourself good and evil.
Why did they add the touching part?
Sorry. That's the subtlety of the serpent. That's the subtlety of the lie, and we'll get to that in a minute. But you've heard me talk about this, some of you, for 14 years. And you still judge for yourself good and evil. Why?
What did she say?
She said we're shameless psychopaths going straight to hell.
I'm glad
we borrowed something
to
me. Well, besides that.
We still judge for ourselves good and evil, rather than becoming the little children, living in dependence on the Father, for one reason. Because you're living in deception. The whole human race. Every value system, every government, every religion, everything, every mind, is teaching you to judge for yourself what's good and what's wrong, what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, rather than living in that moment of dependence. And the reason is because you're, as we'll see in a minute, you're taught, the serpent is saying the same things to you. He's saying, you can't even touch it. Okay, now watch. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And Adam said, Who told thee that thou was naked?
Is that the same sort of walking? I mean, did they know their purpose too?
No, not then.
Because there was a purpose.
No, there was a purpose before they ate the fruit.
Just
to be themselves, to hang out.
Okay.
Before they ate of the fruit, the only thing they were conscious of was God and others.
Right.
Never of themselves. There was no self-consciousness.
And, you know, I never saw something before, but right here it says, that it was pleasant to the eyes. And then one verse later, and then both of their eyes were opened.
Amen.
The first self-consciousness.
Right.
Yeah, the weird thing
they
is
could see is not themselves.
The only sin is self-realization, self-consciousness. Everything else is simply works of the flesh, works of the evil one. You got that? You believe it? No, you don't, because you'll do it in 2 seconds. Because you still are living the lie. You still are living the lie.
That's because Satan is a lot more powerful than we. No. I mean, how can you control that?
You have by the cross of Christ. Pick up your cross. It's simple. Watch. It's very simple. It's the most simple of anything in the universe. That's we're going to see. Watch.
Accepting it and believing it, but practicing it.
You don't have to practice it.
Actually doing it.
You have to do it. You have to do it. You just have to see who you are. Let's go on.
I have a question.
Why?
And God says, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I mean, for some reason that doesn't sound like that's not really true. That's not really, I mean, unless it's mistranslated, you know, because they already sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
Right.
You know, God's saying, you know, where are you? And he's, well, we're hiding because we're naked, but that sounds like bullshit.
But naked means not just physically naked. It means
exposed.
Open to everything.
Lost
exposed.
Lost their covering.
They lost their covering.
They just got pulled out of the
That's why, watch. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
The world's first woman.
Huh?
The world's first woman.
It was a woman, yeah.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Satan made me do it.
The world's first bitch.
Yeah. Eternity was created right there.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Now, what you're about to hear is what the basis of this star map is. It's what the basis of the rest of this book is. It's what the basis of every religion is. It's what the basis of every myth is. It's the reason, it's the one singular thing that's going on in time and space. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Again, it's impossible for a woman to have a seed. That's why the virgin birth was predicted right here. That's why Christ had to be born of a virgin. Because it's the only way a woman would have a seed. The word is sperma. Woman can't have sperm unless it's injected. And then if it's injected by a man, it's not her seed, it's the man's seed. Or, in reality, the serpent seed.
Wait.
Between thy seed, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And that means, enmity is the Hebrew word which means mortal enemy. Enemy unto death. Only one shall come out. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the seed of woman, shall bruise thy head. The word bruise there means to overcome, crush. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Affect his walk for a brief time. Now, the contest, if you look back at the star map, you see the snake. What's he grabbing? What's his tongue going out after? What's he trying to grab? The crown. The contest, there and now, and ever and always, is for dominion. It was the devil in the form of a serpent that robbed the first man, Adam, of his crown. Adam was created to have dominion. Go to Genesis. Somebody read Genesis 1, 26 through 28.
And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
That's wrong.
That's wrong, because Matt and I were having a conversation today, and I was saying that, you know, all day today, you know, my mind had been attacking me. What was the word I used?
Accusing.
Accusing me all day long. And he accused me of something, and I had a little word of reaction to him, because it was just like, you know, was, anyway, and he said it's like in my mind, it's either,
I said you're either deep or you're dirt or you're superwoman, but neither position is okay.
It's like
it's okay.
Like you're in between. Anyway,
I want you to see this once and for all time. Adam was created to have dominion over everything except himself. Satan's temptation then and now was to cause Adam to have a consciousness of self, thereby having a constant struggle to have dominion over himself or his own passions or his own foibles or his own plans or his own ambitions. You guess Christ came along the same line, and Christ walked without once having dominion over himself. He never, ever, ever in his entire life took it upon himself to have dominion over himself. Everything he did, he ascribed to the Father. That's your heritage. Search that star map from now and forever. Search this scripture from now and forever, and you will never find yourself. Aren't you tired of trying to gain dominion over yourself? Well, then give it up. You don't have to do it anymore. Because from now on, it's no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. You never once again ever have to try to gain dominion over yourself. You simply ascribe whatever it is every moment to the Father. That's the secret of living. It's a secret of freedom. It's a secret of heritage. It's a secret of wisdom. It's a secret of knowledge. It's the one story that's told in the star map. It's the one story that's told in the scriptures, in the Torah. It's the one story that's told in the ancient pyramid. It's the one story that's told in every truth that you can see. The seed falling into the ground and dying. The seed doesn't have dominion over itself, otherwise it could never be a tree. It's the story told in the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom never has dominion over itself. It lives by what modern man calls instinct. Instinct is simply that spark, that moment, that impulse in you at every moment to see it's God. Just be you, no matter what the risk. Never try to take dominion back. For you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but not you that liveth, but Christ that liveth in you. You don't have to try to do this. You have to try not to do this. You have spent a lifetime trying to gain dominion, and because of it, you're in anxiety. You never have control of anything, and every one of you has a weakness that defines your inability to accomplish your attempt to define dominion. Some of you have a whole handful of weaknesses. Some of you have a whole pot full of weaknesses. But blessed be those weaknesses, because if you didn't have the weakness, you then would believe the lie. The only reason you're here tonight for any reason is because you're tired of believing the lie. And that simple lie in the gospel is you no longer have to try to gain dominion over yourself. Now return to the small childhood, which is your real life, and have fun.
Amen.
And the promise of God is, in doing so, every need you have will be met with no effort on your part. And He will transform your life with no effort on your part. That's the promise. That's the gospel. Not a bunch of stupid rules that you should do this or that. That's enough. No, that's not enough. Go to Genesis 9.
Need more.
More coals.
What?
More coals.
What's that?
Keeps on your head.
Oh. Eat that fire.
And now, Noah, there's just been a flood. The only things left is Noah and his family. The only thing left on the face of the earth, from our standpoint, now here is us. No, we've been in the ark. You didn't know you were in the ark, but the ark was Christ. He's been protecting you. Whether you have ascribed it or not, whether you've known it or not. All your life, you've been in an ark. Everything else is dead. Everything else is dead. You've been in an ark. And the ark has been the blind... Well, let's go. Watch. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And watch what it says in verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. As long as the moment you stop trying to gain dominion over yourself, God places you in dominion over everything else. It's as automatic as a river flowing, wind blowing. Do you ever know, I mean, I'm no good example, but I guarantee you people are afraid of me, right? Why? I mean, I am such a physical wreck that if somebody hit me in the jaw, it'd probably kill me. No, none of these idiot evangelists would debate with me. Why? Ed Housewright, who could break me in half with one arm, is afraid of me physically. The promise of God is, and it's not a good promise, I mean, it's not, it's a fact. If you take away your attempt to gain dominion over yourself, the fear of you and the dread of you will be on every creature and on everything on the face of the earth. That's not the promise. That's the effect of the promise.
Amen.
Now, there's some other sides there, too. That because of that, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service.
Small thing.
Because of that, you'll be hated of all men. But it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Because you now are walking. You are now doing, being what you were created for. And it's as simple as the recognition that you no longer have to have dominion over yourself. The law came for one purpose. To show you you can't do it. To shut up your mouth. To show you it's impossible to have dominion over yourself. It's impossible for you to change. Don't try anymore. You're not to have dominion over yourself. A mystery takes place that is greater than any mystery in the universe, and that is Christ in you, the desired one, the desired of the nations, is alive and well in you. He who created, who by him were created, for him were created, all things in the universe, is in you tonight, right now. You no longer have to have dominion.
What is that word? What is that?
Dominion? Describe in your mind the wildest aspects of dominion, you can't possibly begin to understand what it means. It means that you own all things. It means that all things exist for your purpose and pleasure. That's your heritage. That's why you were born. But take your eyes off yourself. Look only at Him. He leads, He makes, He changes, but not when you are trying. He will never fight your efforts. Let Him have the joy of making you like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I quit.
What's the difference between being fruitful and multiplying?
What?
What's the difference between being fruitful and multiplying?
Being fruitful means that you provide fruit. You don't do anything. Fruit always comes about by hanging around. You understand? That's the meaning of the word.
Smut.
A tree bears fruit.
More smut.
God's fault.
People multiply.
No,
that's not bearing
so.
Fruit. The multiplication is to reproduce yourself, not more atoms, but to reproduce the rest.
Oh, I see.
The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is the automatic of just hanging around when you take dominion off. Pretty good stuff.
Take it.
Take it, big guy.